Well, are you glad you came so far? I want us to pray again and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart this morning. So would you bow with me? Holy Spirit, we do indeed welcome you here today. We acknowledge your personhood, your purpose, and we ask that you unleash your power upon us today, that you fulfill the purpose which we talked about last week, those many facets of your purpose, to do whatever needs to take place in our lives so that we can be more like God and that we could glorify him more. God, so many times we gather as the church to see what we can get out of it. But God, this morning, would you help us change our thinking to what we can give back to you? As we embark upon this journey of understanding and peeling back the multiple layers of your gifts, that you would, Lord, help us all become less, that you would become more. But you, as Jesus would like to say, he who has ears, let him hear. God, give us ears to hear. That we would not let anything crowd out what you're trying to tell us as individuals or as a church this morning. Thank you, God, again for being here. Holy Spirit, thank you. So guide us now. Teach us. Do what you need to do to change us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, how tragic would it be if we come and gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and we go back out the door and begin to do the same things we always do. See, God is a change agent, and His Holy Spirit is the one who equips us and empowers us to do the things that we know we're supposed to do. And we've been talking about, last week, if you were here, we talked about Pentecost and the birthing of the new church and the excitement and the energy that that brought. And the evangelism that took place as a result of that. And so what we need to understand is that there are not a select few. If you know Jesus Christ, you need to understand this, that not just a select few have spiritual gifts. That when you said yes to Jesus Christ, he instilled in you at least one spiritual gift. Do not believe that one person contains all the gifts, and we'll get into that over the next 8 weeks. And in the Bible, we are introduced to some 21 spiritual gifts, give or take. But 21, which are given to individuals, now check this out, by God. The gift that he has given you is from God. Now, why does he give us spiritual gifts? From God, he gives us gifts, first and foremost, to bring glory to him. We get that mixed up when we start talking about spiritual gifts, because when people say, I have this spiritual gift, and I have this spiritual gift, and they begin to start bringing the focus on them, you can know that they're not using their spiritual gift the way that God intended, because spiritual gifts given by God are to be reflected back upon him and to bring him glory. And then those gifts that God has given us are not only to bring glory and honor to him, but spiritual gifts, all spiritual gifts, are there for the edification and strengthening of the body, not to bring something on some personality. And not everybody has it, but every one of you who call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ has a spiritual gift. Some of you are probably just not using them, or maybe you just haven't recognized those gifts. Now, I believe that those 21 spiritual gifts can be broken down in three categories. It helps me understand them a little bit better. And first are the five ministry gifts, which we find in Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll be doing the next 8 weeks, I promise you, we're going to kind of be delving into a lot of different ones. But those are the ones he says he gave some to apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are the ministry gifts that God gives certain people. Why he gave them the way he did, I don't know. That's his, he selected. I've always wondered why he gave me the spiritual gift of preaching and teaching. I thought, man, God, there's got to be a lot more eloquent speakers out there. But you know, when I look back throughout history, God usually gives gifts to the weakest. Why? Because if it's to the strongest, they take glory for themselves. He gives it to the weakest. And, you know, people will say, man, you did a good job preaching today. And I don't know how to really respond to that. And many of you know me, I use humor. And I said, well, that just means one thing, that God is still using donkeys and rocks. And you can ask Karen which one I am today. So if God speaks to you, it is not from me. It is through Him. It is through His Word. It is through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Then there's 9 manifestation gifts. Those are the ones over the next 8 weeks. We're going to combine 2 of them at the end, and you'll understand when we get there. And those are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpreting tongues. We'll be delving in today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Actually, this whole series is kind of based out of there. And then we see what I like to call and many others call the 7 motivational gifts: prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. And our goal for this series, that by the end of this series, to help you discover what your spiritual gift or gifts are, and then to employ those gifts for the glory of God and for the benefit of the church. That's the goal over the next 8 weeks. And so with that, I invite you now's the time to turn in your Bibles or your Bible apps and open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to be reading verses 4 through 1 and many other verses. But so once you found that, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, I would ask you to stand once you've found your place, and follow along silently as I read aloud. You'll see the words on the screen as well. Church, let me encourage you. Let me implore you to bring your copy of the Word of God with you each and every week, whether that's a phone, there's great apps out there, or your Bible so you can write up. I always worry about a Bible that has no notes in it. And so you can follow along and see that what I'm saying, I will not mislead you. Or if I do, you can shout it down and say, that's not what it says. So here we go. Now, there are different gifts. Now, check this out. But the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God. Check it out. Activates each gift in each person. I just don't have a spiritual gift. Not true, according to God's Word. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given a message of wisdom. We're going to be talking about wisdom today. Through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of languages. To another, interpretation of language. But one and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as He wills. May God, as His understanding, and may the Holy Spirit prompt us and admonish us and encourage us, whatever He needs to do, may He be unleashed upon us today. Amen. You may be seated. So what is wisdom? Wisdom, if you just go to wisdom, it's the opposite of not having common sense, according to the worldly definition. Have you ever met anybody that just didn't have common sense? You may be sitting next to somebody, I'm sorry. But, you know, just nobody has common sense. And my pet peeve is, most of you know, people don't have common sense driving today. They bought a $20,000 plus car that's equipped with blinkers, and they don't have the wisdom to turn that thing on. They just cut in front of you and then do some kind of gesture that makes your blood pressure boil. The definition of wisdom by Merriam-Webster defines wisdom as the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships or insight to produce good judgment or common sense. Now, that is the earthly definition. And there are people that have earthly wisdom. So we need to separate. There is a difference between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. Now, the Bible defines wisdom in the Old Testament as a code of moral conduct that was a theological complement to the laws of the prophets. They were told what to do, and wisdom was the ability to understand what they needed to do, what God was telling them to do. In the New Testament, it's a spiritual gift given by God to discern and judge what is true, what is right, what is lasting, and it gives us practical advice of how to act like, walk like, talk like, and become like Jesus. It gives us spiritual common sense, and it includes not only understanding, and we're going to be talking about knowledge next week, but it's more than just knowledge. It's what God has revealed to us. Wisdom is knowing that, understanding that, and putting it into action. You ever heard that before, that faith without actions is dead? You just got to read in James a little bit. It don't go very far until you start reading that. But the Bible says that that wisdom, where does wisdom come from that we're talking about today? We want earthly wisdom, sure, we'd like to know what to do to get along in our society. But what we need is spiritual wisdom. And it starts, you can find it in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. He says, the fear of the Lord. Now that fear is not like how, the fear is an understanding of who He is the beginning, it says, of wisdom. You cannot have spiritual wisdom unless you have a spiritual encounter with God through Jesus Christ the Savior. And once you have a relationship with God the Father, our Creator, through Jesus Christ the Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to reside in you, you know what's right and wrong. You can't ever claim that you don't know it anymore. The Holy Spirit is always going to reveal to you what is right and the direction you're supposed to go. It's not a lack of communication, it's a lack of listening. God makes it very clear. I shared last week in John chapter 10, just read through that chapter. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And it's kind of like my imagination is, have you ever been in a mall and lost a child? Anybody done? We're not going to turn you in or anything. It's frightening, isn't it? But isn't it amazing over the throngs of people in the mall that when mama cries out that name, let's just say our oldest, Mandy Lynn McFadden, out of all those kids, they hear mama's voice. They know her voice because they interact with that voice on a regular basis. And when that middle name is used, it better get attention. And see, when we start getting out of bounds and getting outside the boundaries that God has placed upon us, and we're going in the wrong direction and could get into some spiritual danger, the Spirit of God cries out and says, Floyd J. McFadden, you better turn around. Now, you're never allowed to call me Floyd, okay? Let's just go there, okay? Wisdom starts of understanding of who God is and who I'm not. I want you to say with me, God, you're all that. And then some. I'm none of that. That's the perspective that we have to gain spiritual wisdom. Recognizing that God is the essential element in obtaining and practicing biblical wisdom. Otherwise, we're just like the world. We're just like even religious people. They think they have wisdom. Look, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 22 to 24 says, the Jews are asking for signs. Well, I just want to know if God's real. And the Greeks were trying to seek wisdom through philosophy. They just wanted to think it to death. You ever met somebody just want to talk, and never do anything? That's the Greeks. That was the Greeks. They just wanted to philosophize. And you know, we hear a lot of people talking about, I know God. You know what's important is that He knows you. We sang that song, and I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm nothing outside of Jesus Christ. And I kept thinking, yes, I know who God is, but it's important that the Bible tells us He knows us by name. And He knows today, right now at this moment, what's going on inside your heart. He knows why you're here. He knows about what He's about to tell you and prompt you to do and respond to. He knows it already, and so do you. I believe that with all my heart. The problem is an obedience problem, not a communication problem from God. He says, but we who? The Christians, the followers of Jesus Christ, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Worldly wisdom and spiritual wisdom clash all the time. I'll never forget a guy looked over the back of my desk, and I was writing we were back in Baumholder, Germany, of all places, and I was writing our tithe check. And he saw that I'd put Trinity Baptist Church on there. That was a little small church just outside the walls of the compound there of the base. He said, "What in the world are you doing? Are you crazy? Are you an idiot?" He said, "You're giving that amount to the church?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Man, if you gave me that money, I would give you a retirement plan that would blow your mind." I said, "Son, I already got a retirement that would blow your mind. I'm investing in the kingdom. It doesn't make sense to the world to follow Jesus. It doesn't make sense to turn the other way and not be like everybody else. It doesn't make sense to the world when we don't laugh at their jokes or go to the places that dishonor God. Or it doesn't make sense that we have marriages that last and have longevity and we push through because we promised God and made a vow before God till death do us part, not till the other person kills us." That might preach a little bit. Verse 24, he said, "Yet to those," that's us, "who are called," see, they was talking to Jewish and Greek Christians too. There's separation there. "The ones who are called, Christ is God's power and" what? "God's wisdom." You cannot get spiritual wisdom unless you know personally Jesus Christ. The more you know Jesus Christ, the more you'll dig into His Word. The more that you dig into His Word, the more you're going to want to know Jesus Christ. The more that you know Jesus Christ and you dig into His Word, you're going to want to act like, walk like, talk like, and become like Jesus, because you can't help it. Because it comes from Jesus Christ. Because God's foolishness is wiser than, and I'm going to put a word in there, any human wisdom. And God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Man, Paul says into a church that was jacked up, church in Corinthians, man, you want to read how not to be a church for dummies, read 1 Corinthians. I'm telling you, that church was jacked up. And here's what Paul wrote that church to try to get them back on track. He said, no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about some pillars of wisdom, but you cannot lay a proper, the walls and all that around unless you have the proper foundation. You remember the parable of the rich man, or the wise man and the foolish man building their house on the rock. So what does wisdom look like? I call it the diagram of wisdom. We go back to Proverbs to verse number 1, chapter 9. Check this out. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved out 7 pillars. I think we have a picture that the Jewish people would understand this construction of what a pillar looks like. Now, if you'll count there's 7 pillars on that front end. All the way back in Proverbs, King Solomon is writing and trying to help his readers understand what wisdom looks like. It has 7 pillars, but the interesting part is he really doesn't share what those are. We don't find that out till later. We find it out. We found it out in James chapter 3, verse 17. "For the wisdom from above," so here we go, here's those 7 things that King Solomon was talking about, is first pure, peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without favoritism and hypocrisy. So spiritual wisdom can be readily identified by, first and foremost, its solid foundation, Jesus Christ, by which no other foundation can be built. He's the cornerstone, and that foundation will never be rocked, because He is the rock. And here we see purity. So ask yourself, are you pure? Wisdom says, be pure. The world says, do what feels good. That's just old traditional stuff. That's just, man, that's religion. Don't listen to them. It's okay to follow what the world is showing us now on television. It's okay to have ungodly relationships. It's okay to start one, and if you don't like it, kick them to the side and get another one. Doesn't matter the collateral damage. That's what the world says. God says that we're supposed to be faithful. God says we're supposed to keep in love with the bride of our youth. And it's not the unpardonable sin, but the wisdom will tell you, stay with the one God puts you with. Then the Word said that what God has put together, let no man put us under. That includes us making that decision. Now, if you've fallen into that, the good news is this, that, man, that's not an unpardonable sin. And he can forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And guess what? Where does he go? He goes right back to the foundation of Jesus Christ and these seven pillars. He wants us to be pure. I don't know if this is a word or not. I called it a word, peaceableness. People that can have peace and bring peace. Are you ever been around somebody that's not at peace? Have you ever been around somebody that's causing disruption and disrupting the peace? They can't help it. That's just, they're following their worldly wisdom. They don't know Jesus or they're not listening to him because the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, which means happy. And so wisdom says that we are supposed to be peacemakers. We're supposed to have peace. When God resides in our heart, it gives us peace. Kind of like when I got my second shot for COVID-19. Hallelujah. I was so glad. And then 3 weeks later, man, I was like, oh, I got some peace going on here. Now, I don't know how long that thing's going to last, but I tell you what, it gave me inner peace. Now, wisdom would say, you keep doing what you're doing, keep washing your hands. Why we have to tell grown adults to wash your hands in 2021, I have no idea, except that people don't have wisdom. They're to borrow a line from Napoleon Dynamite, you know what word I'm thinking of? Idiot. You got to tell grown people to wash their hands and then not, or if they touch, go to the bathroom, touch anything in there. Don't put it in their mouth and on their eyes. Can you believe that we've reached that age of foolishness? God needs us to be wise. Gentleness. Man, that's one of the pillars of wisdom, is that person is gentle, genteel. Not aggressive, not always trying to have his or her way over everything, but all kind of like a dad or a mom when a kid, you know, scratches his knee. Not like that commercial. Have y'all seen that commercial where the lady's taking care of her cat? And her daughter cries out and she said, I skint my knee. And she said, get a Band-Aid. She said, it's bleeding. She said, get two. Because her wisdom said, take better care of that cat than her kids. That's where we're at, folks. That's where we're at, and we need to be gentle. And the next one is reasonableness. Reasonableness. Something comes up, be reasonable. Be reasonable. Helpfulness. Now, there's one. Wisdom says you're going to be helping, and we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, and there's a gift of helps, but all of us can be helpful, not hurtful. You ever been around somebody when the work gets divvied out? They're the ones that, for whatever reason, oh, I got to go check on this. It's like that lieutenant on a Band of Brothers. He was always gone. They never could find him. It didn't instill trust in anybody. Humility and sincerity. These are the seven pillars that God is talking about in all the way back in Proverbs, that wisdom can be seen. It's not some concept out there that's just floating around that nobody can get a grasp around. You can see the effects of wisdom in a person's life in these seven pillars. My question to you and to my own self, which of the pillars are cracking? Which of the ones are corroding? Which of the ones are crumbling and the chips are starting to fall off and you're starting to see what's underneath? I wish I could remember the full story about the ship that had the three red smokestacks on it back in the day. Beautiful red smokestacks. And they were trying to sell it. And when they got ready to try to sell it, they took a closer inspection on it. While it looked good on the outside, all they had done, they had not done any repair work on the inside. They hadn't sanded it down and done all the things, welded it. They just kept painting around it. And they found about 10 inches of paint over the years, and everything else was crumbled, and when they touched it, the smokestacks fell. That's so representative of so many people who call themselves followers of Christ. We put on the facade when we come to church, and we lie. How you doing? I'm fine. It's all good. Man, I can't say what I really want to say right now, but that's a lie. What happened if we would say to others, I'm not doing too good. Would you pray for me? This is what's going on in my life right now. I need you to pray for me, because that's what the church is supposed to do, is lift and carry one another's burdens. But we can't do that when we lie to one another. And we need to understand that wisdom is being able to share, and wisdom is being able to portray these things not as a facade, but they're from the inside out. You can fake it. I've heard it. You can fake it till you make it. No, you can't. You really can't. Because what's done in secret will always come to the light. So how do we get this wisdom, the determination of wisdom? Who determines that? We've already said that God determines that. Look what it says in James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. We've already learned that God gives those. Coming down from who? The Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God knows what He's doing when He gives you a spiritual gift. The most depressed and saddened and defeated followers of Christ I know are when people are not using their spiritual gifts, or they're outside of their spiritual giftedness. When you're doing what God has given you with that gift that He's entrusted you with, then you're happy, you're fulfilled. When you're outside of it, you can tell. So let me ask you, are you drained? Are you weary? Are you tired? Are you just don't know what your purpose is? You need to determine what your gift is and begin to use it. So how do you get it? Well, we got to go back to James chapter 1. By the way, we see back in the day in the Old Testament, the book of wisdom was what? Proverbs. That's what it's called. Well, the Old New Testament version of that is what? It's James. James is the New Testament book of wisdom. And here's what he says. Now, any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously. Now, I just think I'll give you a little bit. No, he gives it generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. I believe one of the gifts that we all can have is wisdom, because that wisdom is not based in our knowledge, it's based in Jesus Christ. It's based on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We have an example back in the day when King Solomon, I love using him as an example because all the gifts he could have asked for. If you go back to 1 Kings 3, 7 through 9, God said, you can have whatever you want. Now, you think about that for a second. I know y'all have all played the If I Win the Lottery deal. Who has not played the game in your mind? If I won the lottery, I would do this. Well, God gave him the lottery ticket. Solomon, I'll give you whatever it is you want. And what did he choose? Look what it says. Lord, my God, you have now made your servant king in my father David's place. Yet I am just a youth with no experience in leadership. Your servant is amongst your people. You have chosen a people too numerous to be numbered or counted. God, you give me so many people, I don't know what to do with them. So please give your servant an obedient heart to judge your people and to discern between good and evil. That's wisdom. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Solomon asked for wisdom. Now, many will tell you that he failed at employing it because he had 700 concubines. I think that's true. I couldn't have 700 concubines. I would do well enough to try to do right by my own wife. You know what I'm saying? I can't have those other relationships. And then I want you to see something about the determination. We have to ask for it. Now, check this out. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, so we got to verse 11, but if you go just a little bit further, he says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Now, in the last week, we'll get into some of those gifts that some people think are the higher gifts. And I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm going to preach God's word. If it offends you, take it up with God. But there are denominations out there that say that if you don't have the spiritual gift of tongues, you can't be saved. And I will tell you, based on God's word, that's hogwash. That's not great theology or great grammar, but it's fantastic theology. Because the Bible says, and we'll get into it in week 8, that the Bible says that tongues is the least of all the gifts. It's not a higher gift. And most of the time when you see tongues, and I've seen it done right and I've seen it done wrong. And I won't preach this. You got to come back for that one, because it's going to be, man, I'm telling you, you want to invite your friends, especially anybody that thinks that having tongues means you got to have them to be saved. Bring them. Because we're going to open up, not what I say, what does the Word of God say about it? But all the gifts, he says, seek the higher gifts. So what are the higher gifts? All you got to do is filter it through Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ come to do? To save and to serve. To save and to serve. These higher gifts have been argued from theologians way smarter than I am on all different sides. But I suggest to you this morning, the higher gifts are those that are given to the normal person, to the follower of Jesus Christ, that strengthens and edifies the body and glorifies God. And those gifts are the gifts of service. Those that are put upon the people and are ministered to the people, not reflecting on self. The higher gifts are those that are going to bring more and more people to Jesus Christ. Those are the higher gifts. Now, we could go into a lot of different discussion of what you think they are, what I think they are. I'm just trying to tell you that one gift that everybody thinks is the higher gift and somehow is this manifestation of a special anointing of God. Listen, all the gifts are a special anointing. They're a gift of God. But the Bible itself says that's the least of the gifts. I didn't say it. So don't get mad at me. I won't sleep tonight, but about 8 hours, okay? He says, earnestly desire them. Ask God. God, I want the gifts that best honor you. I want the gifts, God, that you want me to have so I can best minister to the body and edify the body. God, I must be less, that you must be more. You heard that somewhere in Scripture? Not the gifts that edify you, but those that bring glory to God and edify the body and strengthen. And usually the best ones. You know, some of my favorite people are those who have the gift of service in the bathrooms. Come on now. You ever been in a gas station toilet? Somebody there missed out on the gift of serving. You don't even want to go in there. You want to hover, if anything. But those in our church that behind the scenes, they never want to take credit. They're in there, they'll clean up after you. You ought to go in there some Sunday right after service. Stuff thrown on the floor. Sink's not wiped down, but when those who serve see it, they'll do it. I had a pastor friend of mine, he said that was his spiritual gift, was cleaning toilets. One of my mentors. Why? Because he has the gift of service. He also has the gift of humility. He also knew that clean toilets could maybe be a part in leading someone to Jesus Christ. See, I won't go into a restaurant. If I go into their restroom and it's dirty, I won't come back to that restaurant. You know what I'm talking about. So the higher gifts, desire them. God, what do you want me to have? You know, the Bible says if you'll delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, the cool part about that is if you delight yourself in him, you're only going to want what he wants for you. That's the desires that you want. And so desiring those gifts, say, God, whatever you give me, let me use it for your glory. Those are the greater gifts. Have you ever gotten a gift and put it up on the shelf? Have you? You know, I'm a little bit afraid this afternoon. You know, my grandson had his 7th birthday, and we're going to give him a few more things today, and I hope he doesn't say, I already have that. But you know the greatest gifts? Desire the greatest gifts? The gifts that you'll remember are the useful gifts. The ones that you use years from now. Not the ones that you play with a few times and it breaks and you got to send it back because the warranty's out. I'm talking about those gifts that work, like a hammer, an inflator for the car tires. You give me a gift. I had a friend of mine give me one of my favorite things because he was thinking about me, and that's how God does. He thinks of us, and he gave me a gift of F11 top coat cover for the car. It's a spray. It's not Armor All. I mean, it's the stuff. I'm just telling you, if you want to know something for your car, that's a gift that every time I use it, check it out, I think of that person. Every single time. and I thank God for him. See, every time you, that should be the way your gift is used. Every time you use that gift for God, it should remind you of God and should make you thankful of God, and every time give him praise and honor that he entrusted you with that gift. Those are the higher gifts. So as the band is coming forward, I and they're going to, what I like to call the response time, a chance for us to react to what we've heard. I love what God has given me freedom. It's the one of the facts. I preach his word, and the Holy Spirit has to decipher it and translate it in your heart, but I'm no longer responsible once I say amen. You are. You're responsible for what the word says, and I'm responsible for what the word says, but I'm not responsible for you. I'm responsible for me. So what? Here's what I would encourage you to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him, God, in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right path. Sounds like wisdom, doesn't it? Don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord, which is the beginning of understanding, and turn away from evil. That's our response to the spiritual gifts, especially wisdom. And you say, okay, well, now what? Now what? Well, then we read the words that Paul gave young Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. He goes, Timothy, I want to remind you of something, because I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. Use the gift that God gives you on a regular basis, because when God gives you a gift and it sits on the shelf and when it's time to use it, there may have to be a lot of renovation first and restoration. And some people this morning need restoration because God gave you a gift and you've never opened the package. And God wants us to open those packages. And how do I know that? Because, listen, when God's people are opening their gifts and they're applying those gifts, the body grows. Reproduction happens. People get saved. People get baptized. Relationships get brought back together. That's what happens when the gifts are unleashed through the body of Christ. And I'm asking you to join me that we begin to pray earnestly for revival in Connect Church, that God would then help us understand what our gifts are and then let us unleash those gifts through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that God's will and his word would be proclaimed throughout, and we'd change this church forever. He'll change you forever. And using that gift, it'll constantly remind you who gave it to you. Oh, 1 Peter says this, and then I'm done. He said, based on the gift each one has received, use it to bring glory to yourself. Wait, it didn't say that, did it? See, I'm testing you to see if you're listening. Use it to do what? Serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. Church, I want to ask you, you call Connect your church home. This is where you feel God has led you to throw in your lot with us. With all your mistakes, all my mistakes, we come together. This is your church home. You need to be serving somewhere. You need to be using your gifts, because when you don't use your gifts, someone's getting robbed of that blessing. Somebody. We're going to talk about a lot of gifts over the next few weeks, and then I believe we're going to do our best to try to do something on that last Sunday morning where we take a spiritual gift survey on your phone. So, you know, try to bring your phones, and we'll have some hard copies that you can turn in. But we want to help you identify that gift. Is there any question in your mind? We want to help you identify that, and then we're going to do our best to find you a place to plug and play, that place where you can serve and be fulfilled, but also can bless someone else. God, do what you want to do. I know you're here, Holy Spirit, and I know you're speaking to every person here who has a heart that's open to hear you. And you're knocking on the door of those that are not quite sure. And if that's you, I just want you to know the handle's on the inside. God, I won't force himself on you. That's not the kind of God we serve. He's knocking at the door and says, please, I want to come in. I want to be a part of your life. I want you to be a part of mine. And if you've never done that, you've never said yes to Jesus, I encourage you to open the door. Only blessings are waiting on the outside of that door, because he wants to come in and show you his love and show you his goodness and show you how to act like, walk like, talk like, and become like his son Jesus Christ. All you got to do is say yes. Yes, God, I agree with you that I'm a sinner. I've been doing it wrong my way. But today I understand that, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And now, God, with the best I know how, I'm asking you to come into my life and become the boss, the king on the throne. And Holy Spirit, give me strength to say yes. If that's you this morning, I encourage you in just a few minutes when I say amen, to immediately stand up and then come down to this altar and kneel at the altar and just tell God, there's something about coming out of your seat and taking a step that will strengthen you and encourage you. If you'd like prayer, I'll be here. Our other elders will be here if you need us. We'd love to be able to pray with you and for you. What's wisdom telling you to do?